So, my name is Reed Helvey and I am 15 years old. Today's date is February 26, 2019, and I'm speaking with
Mary Harvey,
who my relationship is my dad's coworker. We are currently recording in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, tell me about where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
Boy, let me see where to start. So I'm originally from Seoul, Korea, and I lived there until I was about 10 years old, outside of Seoul. So I was, even though it was outside of Seoul in a very populated area, it was a very poor area and more like a country living than city living. So most of my childhood, I spent that time with my grandmother, who was more like a mother to me, and she was a Buddhist.
Ah.
So I was raised as a Buddhist. And so I would go to the temple with my grandmother, and I loved it because we were poor and we didn't have a lot of food. And at the temple, people would bring their best food and put it all in front of the statue. And not that we'd be able to eat it, but I'd be able to see all of it. So that was kind of cool. But I would say a lot of things that people don't realize about my childhood is that I lived in a fairly large house, but we had no running water. Our main source of water was a well in the kitchen that, so we had to boil everything. So we didn't have gas, or we had an outhouse, and there were about 10 of us living in that house. And
so you have nine other siblings?
I lived with basically my grandmother, my aunts and uncles, so it was just a big extended family.
Yeah.
So I have a younger brother, so it was my brother and me, aunts, uncles, grandparents, so extended family. And so our source of heat was to burn coal underneath the room on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So we would put blankets down, and the 10 of us would be like sleeping on the floor with the blanket to keep the heat from burning us. And that's where we basically ate, slept, everything.
Yes. Now, do you still practice Buddhism today?
No. So I would say it was my my parents and my aunts and uncles, that was their era of Christianity coming into Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So I was raised, I wasn't really, so I went, I didn't know much about religion. So I was neither Christian nor Buddhist, but I was exposed to both.
Oh, I see.
And I became a Christian when I moved here.
Is English your second language?
English is my second language, yes.
Now, do you speak Korea or Korean with anyone else, like maybe over the phone with your mother or
I was 10 when I moved here, and in order to learn English, we were totally immersed.
Mm.
So we had to speak English all the time. And so the Korean language, it's like French. You have an informal and a formal. So as a child of 10 years old, I only knew the informal language. And so as an adult, it's kind of embarrassing for me to speak an informal language with other adults. So I can understand a lot more Korean than I can actually speak it.
Mm.
And I would say rarely do
I
speak
it. Is it more grammatically?
It's more in French, you have tu versus vous, which is formal is vous and tu is informal. So it's using that informal, it's a disrespectful way of speaking.
Yes.
And Koreans would recognize right away that I'm speaking like a child versus an adult speaking to an adult.
Okay. Were there any difficult moments when you came to the U.S.?
Oh, lots of difficult moments.
I guess. What was the most significant?
So I would say the most was we moved to a very small town here near St. Louis. So near Rolla, Missouri, which is about 100 miles southwest of here. And we were the only non-Caucasians in that community. So being different and I would say more the people were xenophobic. They were afraid of what they didn't know and they didn't. So just overcoming that and trying to fit in. I think that's the biggest challenge when you're a child, fitting in with everyone else. And so my brother and I were challenged with that. And I guess the second thing really is the language barrier.
Yeah.
So we came to the States, the only two English words I knew were yes and no. So anytime anyone asked us questions, anything, it was yes or no, right?
Yeah.
So it took us a while to learn the language. And I think there was a point where I was speaking a sentence, half of it in English and half of it in Korean, in order to learn those sentences. So
next question. Did you like school? Why or why not? I guess since you were 10 years old at the time, let's see, let's compare your when you went to school in Korea versus America.
Okay, so even though I was very poor growing up in Korea, I was fairly smart and streetwise, and so I was one of the popular girls, I would say, in Korea. Then I came to the States, I couldn't communicate, people made fun of me, so I was probably the least popular here in the U.S., so that was a big challenge.
Okay.
So I would say that it took a long time, and then academically, catching up. I started my fourth quarter of my fourth grade year, and so I was really good at math, but English and any other subject, it was really difficult.
Okay. So we already answered that one. Are there any traditions that you brought over to the States?
I would say first of all, the main tradition that you always have to follow as a Korean is to learn to bow and be respectful to your elders. And one of the things that Americans don't realize about Asians, Koreans in particular, is that making eye contact is disrespectful.
Yeah, I heard that in a learning environment, it challenges the teacher's authority.
Yes, it does. And so it's very disrespectful to look at people in the eyes. And in America, right, if you don't make eye contact, that means you're hiding something.
Yeah.
So it's that, you know,
complete opposite.
Exactly. So how do you accommodate and be respectful and also, you know, make sure that people understand that you're telling the truth and you're being respectful.
Yes.
So.
All right. So, can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you learned in life?
Boy.
So far.
Most important. I think most important in life is to be proud of who you are and where you come from. So when I was younger, when I was different from everyone else, my main wish was to be like everyone else. And I think later in life, maybe in college, a little bit after, I realized there are definitely benefits to being different. And also embracing it and being proud of it and promoting it with confidence is very important with building who you are and being successful.
Yeah. All right. Are there any classic jokes, stories, songs? Or does this go along with the traditions a little bit, I guess?
Boy. You know, it's funny. I mean, one of the things I think that's interesting in the language differences, right, is there are certain things that you say that is very different. And I don't know about jokes, but a couple of things that the differences is the way that Koreans mimic the sounds that animals make is very different from what Americans say. So like for instance, a pig, you say, says oink oink.
Oink oink, yeah.
Koreans say gur gur, right? So it's all in interpreting how you hear it and what kind of sounds you're used to.
Yeah.
And like some of the things like in Korea, Yao means fox. And when someone's described as being a yao, that means they're kind of underhanded and
sneaky.
Mischievous. Yeah. And a fox here is she's a fox. She's hot. She's, you know. So those kinds of things that are, I think, interesting differences.
Yeah, thank you. All right, next. Can you tell me about two people who have been the biggest influences in your life and who have potentially got you to where you are today?
So I would say two most influential people in my life. One was my grandmother. She was the Buddhist.
Yes.
She was the matriarch of the family. She did it all and accomplished what she needed to with kindness, thoughtfulness, so being supportive, never raised her voice, but everyone respected her.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned that you don't have to be aggressive, or you don't, it's just, you can accomplish
what you... You can solve problems through...
Kindness, and empathy, and doing good things, paying it forward versus, you know, demanding, right? And the second person, so for me, it has been women in my life who I try to emulate. And the second person who was influential in my life was my first boss out of college. She did not have a college degree, and I started working for her with a college degree. She was a right-hand person to the chairman of the firm.
Must have been a lot of pressure.
I don't know about a lot of pressure, but the she was really smart, and she had a lot of ethics. She was, you know, some of the challenges really were that she saw everything as black and white. It's either right or wrong. And sometimes that simplifies everything, but sometimes it also complicates
things.
Exactly. But what I appreciated about her the most was that she didn't ever feel threatened by my accomplishments. And what I've learned is that you can help people, you can be their advocate and celebrate their accomplishments versus feeling like you're always in competition with them.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to emulate as well.
That's good. Next question. How did you find your way to your current job/career?
Oh, it was, so I graduated with a teaching degree, and I decided after I graduated that teaching was not my calling in life. And that it wasn't for me. And also I have more of a capitalistic nature. So I went into corporations and working to find my own path, right? And so my current job, I've learned, actually through the two women who were the most influential in my life, the relationships and how you treat people and how people reciprocate are really important in life. And so this job that I absolutely love, and I love working with your dad, not always, but most of the time.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Was basically through developing those relationships. And that they were big advocates of mine, and that they helped me find this position and defined what it is that I wanted to do and helped me do those things.
Okay.
So,
do you still keep in contact with these, with your grandmother and the other influential
person? So my grandmother passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And so that was very sad, but she was 102 years old.
Oh,
so
that's a long life.
Really good. Healthy life, yes. And the other person, absolutely. I started working for her in Denver, Colorado. We connected because she grew up from this area.
Missouri.
So in Missouri. She was from Southern? Wood River, Illinois, was where she grew up. And she retired and moved to the Lake of the Ozarks. And so definitely she is like a mom to me, and she's always been there for me. So definitely kept in contact.
All right. So, next question. Do you ever visit back home to see any of your uncles, aunts, extended family that you previously mentioned?
So, yes and no, in that it's been a long time since I visited Korea. Yeah, it is complicated. So, I have a daughter. She's 17, but she has a severe form of epilepsy. So, it would be hard for her to travel out of the country. And I am a primary caretaker. So I do, so I cannot leave her for any length of time. So I have not visited Korea in a long, long time. But I will say the last time I visited was way before she was born. But I felt really good because visiting, I'm Korean, but I'm an Americanized Korean. Mm-hmm. So in a way, people recognize the difference. So I felt like a movie star when I walked around in Korea because people saw that. Well, first of all, I'm much taller than a typical Korean. Mm. So I kind of like that feeling like I was some kind of celebrity kind of thing, you know. So, but no, I have kept in touch with my relatives, especially those who have immigrated to the U.S., mm. But not a lot of, contact with those in Korea.
Last question here. Why did you agree to this interview today?
Why? Because one, I was impressed that you asked me, so I was honored. And two, I don't know, I was just interested in how you would handle this interview and what kind of questions you had.
Yeah, this is my first or second interview actually done. This is the first time I've ever recorded one.
Well, you've done a fabulous job. And then I will say, in all the time that I've known you, this has been the longest conversation that you and I have had. So that's exciting, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So great job. I actually, your questions, well thought out. Mm. And I would say, as an interviewer, you did a great job because a lot of times, interviewers should be asking the questions and in the listening mode, and you did a great job on that.
Oh, thank you. So that will conclude our interview.
Thank you.